You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Let me ask you to open your Bible to Psalm 107. I've already said the three words that you hear at the beginning of every sermon. What are those three words? Open your Bible, because what else would you preach a sermon about? I don't know. There's three words that we use at Harvest to close the service. What are those? You are loved. And why do we say you are loved at the conclusion of every service? Because we need to be reminded that we are loved, right? Especially after you've been in church and maybe you've been confronted and convicted with some area of your life and you're overwhelmed and you need to know, how in the world could God love a dirty, rotten sinner like me? I mean, I was just cut and convicted by God's word. How could God love me? Well, today we're going to talk about the importance of being devastated by God's love. The devastating love of God. So we're going to see it here in Psalm 107. And as we look at it, there's 43 verses in this passage. We're not going to have time to look at all of them, but I do want to start at the end. And so I want you to look at the last verse in Psalm 107, verse 43. It says this: "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things." What things is he talking about? Well, there's four things that we're going to see in the previous part of the chapter here. I'm going to show you those in a moment. But we're to attend. That means we're to pay attention, close, careful examination of these things. And then he says, let them consider, what is it? The steadfast love of the Lord. The word consider is very important. That means to ponder, to meditate on, to be intentional, to wrap your mind around, what is it? The steadfast love of the Lord. So you are loved. And we need to consider that this morning and ponder it and think about it. And believe it or not, my goal for this service is not that you would learn anything. Our goal for this service is not even necessarily that you would do anything. Do you know what our goal is this morning? Our goal is that you would feel something. That you would feel that you are the object of the devastating love of God. You are loved by a holy God. And we know that because of what the rest of Psalm 107 says. Go back up to verse 1 and let's begin to work through it. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." It's important that you not ignore any word that God put in the scripture. And don't even rush past the first word of this chapter in the ESV. The first word is the word, "Oh." You know, without the word "oh," this is just an academic exercise. There's just information in here. The Lord wants us to know something about his love, and yeah, he's good, and okay, big deal. But you attach an "O" to it, that means it is a responsive act of worship from my heart when I consider the fact that God loves even me. I love it around here when we sing songs that have "O's" in them. Do you ever get confused by those? Like, well, they couldn't think of any lyrics, and so they just sing the "O's," all right? Now that's to help some of you that really can't sing very much, and you just want to say, "Ah!" I mean, that's fine. That's a joyful noise. You just jump right in. That's your solo part when we get to an "O." Just let it rip right there. That's fine. But the "O" is the expression of your heart back to something that has crashed in your head, and all of a sudden you are devastated by the fact that there is a steadfast love from a God who is good. So what am I supposed to do and feel in response to those facts? He goes on and says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The word "endure" is very important. That says that God actually has to put up with me and put up with you. And yet, there is never a time that God is exhausted dealing with me. His love is an enduring love. God never looks down at my poor performance and says, "Ah! What is he doing? I'm so frustrated." God's never frustrated. He just endures. And I am the object of an enduring love from God. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Is the Lord good? Well, then say so. This is a dialogue here this morning, okay? If you hear something that impacts your heart, then say so. Say, "He is good. Thank you, Lord, for putting up with me and enduring. Thank you for your love." If he's perfect, then say so. Is he uncontaminated by sin? Well, then say so. Is he morally excellent? Then say so. Is he skillful? Is he helpful? Is he kind? Is he merciful? Then say so. Is he all satisfying? Then say so. Do you know that the fact that the Lord is good would be unknowable to us unless he was so good he wanted to share his goodness with you? He would be perfectly just, sitting up in the heavens, completely removed from you and I, having any knowledge that there is a God or that that God is good, unless he was so good, he condescended to come down to your level and express his goodness to you. Do you know experientially, because the way God has dealt with the circumstances in your life, that he is good? He's so good, he wanted to share his goodness with you and to know his goodness. He still would have been good if he hadn't told us. He's not only told us, he's come down experientially to become one of us to show us how good he was in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And if you know anything about his goodness, then what? Say so. Who am I supposed to say it to? Three people. Number one, I need to say it to God. Now, God doesn't need to hear it. God is completely self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything from me. But I need to say it. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your enduring love. You are so good. You are so holy. You are so all-sufficient. You are so in control. God, thank you for being good. I want to say so. Secondly, I need to say it to myself. Listen, the most important sermons you will hear won't be preached from me. The most important sermons you hear will be preached by you to you. Do you like to talk to yourself? You need to preach to yourself, right? And you're here this morning, you're either preaching to yourself or you're listening to yourself. Which is the better option? Preach to yourself. Be intentional about packing the right truths into your brain, then you can listen to yourself. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. First of all, to God. Secondly, to myself. And thirdly, to who? Anybody within earshot, right? Anybody I have influence over, they need to hear me say, "The Lord is good." Because we want them to experience the devastating love of God just like we've experienced it. And what are we going to say? We're going to say our story of redemption. In Psalm 107, there are four stories of redemption. Each of the four stories has a fourfold plot. And we're going to look at it. Before we look at the four stories, I want you to see the fourfold plot. Here it is. It starts with big trouble. Big trouble. What do we mean when we talk about big trouble? Devastating circumstances that set the stage for a display of God's devastating love. And listen, I have spent all week reading text messages and emails and answering emergency phone calls, listening to what a mess you people are. I mean, this has been a rough week in the life of Harvest Bible Chapel. I mean, refrigerators going out and hoses busting upstairs and flooding living rooms and basements and emergency room calls and surgeries didn't go well and people in Liberia, that in of itself is a devastating circumstance. We've got people in, and they're fine, they're doing great, but man, life's hard. And we experience big trouble. The only way you're going to be able to deal with devastating circumstances is to understand that God uses devastating circumstances to set the stage for Him to display devastating love. That's the first part of the plot. We're going to see it in all four of these stories. By the way, do you have a redemption story? If you've ever been in big trouble, that's the first part of your redemption story. Some of you have never yet realized how big of a trouble you are currently in. And so you don't really see that this is setting the stage here for God to show some display His devastating love. Here's the second thing, a loud cry. What are we talking about when we talk about a loud cry? It is an unfiltered, audible plea for God's help. Now, this is not your, you know, little nice Sunday school prayer, okay? This is not the guy that says, I have an unspoken prayer request, you know? No, this is an unhinged, unfiltered, desperate, audible longing for help. I cannot go another second without God intervening in my life. Now, that can happen in public. It can happen in private. Some of you have never in your life wept and wailed and cried out in desperate circumstances for God to intervene. And that's why you're still in trouble. It's because you never progressed to the second stage of the plot of your redemption story. Okay? In recent weeks, I have been on my face crying out, weeping and wailing to the point where I was embarrassed. Just like, these people must think I am losing my mind, right? But some of us will not get to that point because we're more concerned with being respected than we are with being helped. And we will never get the help we need until we want it more than we want the respect of others. So don't be ashamed to cry out for help. It's essential if you're ever going to get to the third step. What's that? Redeeming love. What is that? That is the enduring goodness of God that rescues from trouble at great cost to Himself. Do you realize it costs God something to have anything to do with you? To listen to your cry? The Bible says that God actually humbles Himself even to look on the earth. God just has to condescend, like, wow, look at those people, they're a mess. But not only does He look, He comes down because He loves and He wants you to experience His love and He wants to draw you into that love and He wants to redeem. In the Bible, when it says, let the redeemed say so, it's talking about a group of people who have been purchased at great cost and are now possessed and owned by God. Are you redeemed? Not everybody in here, I fear, is redeemed. And if you don't have a redemption story with these four plot lines, you're not redeemed. That's bad news. The good news is this, before this service is over with, you can be redeemed. At no cost to yourself and yet great cost to Jesus as He hung on that cross to absorb the wrath of God on your behalf. And God loves you so much, He was willing to put His Son on that cross so that He could love you. He could not love you apart from the price that was paid by His Son on the cross. That's the gospel. You say, man, that's a bargain. What do I have to do that? We got to realize you're in big trouble. You got to cry real loud in desperation, experience redeeming love, and then what happens? Something happens in me. Transforming things. grateful expressions of awestruck praise. Not, thank you, God. No, an explosion of gratitude, understanding how big the trouble was, how loud the cry needed to be, how overwhelming the love was and enduring the love was, and what it requires from me. Every act of obedience flows from my heart of gratitude. I said I didn't want you to do anything today. The reason I said that is because if you feel the right thing in the midst of this message, if God comes and convinces you, you cry out to Him, you realize you're in big trouble, and you cry out to Him, and God expresses His redeeming love to you, you won't have a problem with point four. You're going to do that as the automatic overflow. When you feel it, you're going to do it. Everybody's been in big trouble. The question is, have you ever gone to the next step and had a loud cry and experienced the redeeming love and exploded with gratitude expressions of awestruck praise? So, let's see these four stories in the scripture, because there's four different groups. Look here in, look in verse 4. He says this. Some, that's going to be our key word. The reason we know there's four different stories is because we see the word some four different times, and he identifies four different groups of people. Some wandered in desert places, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. So these were people that were wandering, and obviously the context of this scripture is the nation of Israel that had forsaken God, and they were under God's judgment, and now they were in captivity to a foreign ruler, and they surrounded by idolatry, and they were suffering because of their sin, because they simply wandered. Some people experience big trouble, not because they've made a decisive act of rebellion against God. They've just drifted from truth. They've just wandered. They've left home. They've left church. They've forgotten truth. They know better, but they're just drifting. And they're wandering. And some of the big trouble and some of the devastating circumstances come because they're just wandering. And it's important to know, when I'm in that situation, that I'm loved even when I'm dry, when I'm in a desert land. Some of us wander because we're not satisfied with what God's done so far, so we go looking for something else to quench our thirst. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says that some people go to broken cisterns that can hold no water and try to get their thirst quenched. We're thirsty and we're eating pretzels trying to quench the thirst. That's what we do. When you start to look for things in entertainment and money and relationships outside of the Lord, nothing wrong with any of those things necessarily, but they never satisfy. And they leave you wanting more until you do what? Look at verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. For He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Notice that they were wandering without a city. What's the big deal about a city? It's a community. We were never meant and created to live in isolation. We need relationship with one another. We need community with one another. And when you are dry and wandering, you're wandering into isolation. God wants you to come back into the family. That's why it's so important you be a part of a church. If you name the name of Christ, you need to be connected to the family of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, in a church body. You know what Harvest Bible Chapel is? Harvest Bible Chapel is a good church. It's not a perfect church, but it's a good church. It's a church. It's a community of hungry but satisfied souls that meet together to remind each other of the goodness of God so that we can cry out in trouble, experiencing redeeming love and return transforming thanks. That's why we gather together. We don't sleep in on Sunday morning. That's why we gather together in small groups, because we need each other when we're dry so we don't wander into isolation. Here's the second point. I'm loved even when it's dark. Look at verse 10. He says this, some, there's our word, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. These people have lost their freedom. They're enslaved. They're prisoners. They're in shackles. And some of us here today are in a cell of darkness. The first group was wandering because of neglect. This group was sitting in darkness because of decisive choices they'd made to rebel against the word of the Lord. It says in verse 11, for they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down and none to help. That's big trouble. When you spurn the word of the Lord, why are they there? They're mad at God. They're running from God. And there's no one to help when you do that. God says, you got a better plan? Go ahead. You should see how that works out for you. And then at the point where you come to desperation, you'll cry out. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Verse 15, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his works to men. Does that sound familiar? Same thing that was written back up in verse 8. It's the plot line. So when you're sitting in darkness, you're sitting in the cell of rebellion. Do you know what God says? He wants to set you free. You talk about a prison break. This is a jailbreak from the outside in rather than the inside out. Look at what he says in verse 14. He says, he will burst the bonds. Verse 16 says, he shatters the door. He cuts into the irons. So if you feel like you're enslaved to sin, some addiction, you've lost control over the ability to say no to something, it's because you're sitting in darkness. That's big trouble. What should you do? Cry out, experience the redeeming love, and return transforming thanks. Here's the third group. I'm loved even when I've been dumb. Anybody relate to that point? Anybody do anything dumb this week? Yeah, if I knew better than that, why in the world did I do that? Well, let's look at this group. There's a group that describes that. Look at verse 17. Some were fools. There it is. I've just been foolish. Some were fools through their sinful ways because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and they drew near the gates of death. This is talking about a physical sickness as a result of their sinful ways. Does God love me even then? Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, look at the next verse, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. Why would God bother with me when I've been so dumb? He loves me. It's a devastating love. He goes on in verse 20. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and his wondrous works to the children of men, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Notice here, he sets them free. He sent out his word and healed them. So it's not just talking about a physical healing. It's talking about a spiritual healing, an interaction with truth that replaces lies with truth. That is why it is so important to be in this book, to encounter the teachings and the doctrines and the encouragement and the promises and the warnings that God uses to display his love and sets me free. It says that we're to tell of his deeds in songs of joy. I think three out of the four songs that we sang this morning, or three out of five, were all original Harvest songs. There are new songs being written to tell of the amazing, redemptive, steadfast love of the Lord. And we need to be singing them. Now, some of you, I just lost you at that point. Because you look at me and say, I don't sing ever. It's frightful, actually. You probably are like my dad. I lost my dad about 5 years ago. My dad was an auto mechanic, grease under fingernails. This was not a choir boy, okay? But he met the Lord at age 45. And he was never the same. And the reason that we knew he was never the same is because of what happened during the music portion of the worship services at church. My dad would have a better chance of hitting the right note in a song if he stood and threw rocks at the keyboard. Okay? But that never prevented him from being the loudest singer in our church. Okay? It was scary. He just kind of had a philosophy. Whatever he lacked in beauty, he made up for in volume. And that is great philosophy for what we do around here. Okay? It's not about the beauty. It is about the redemption story we're trying to tell. We're just trying to say so. All right? And when we get to the O parts in the song, man, that's all for you that people that can't sing. Just, that's fine. That's just a joyful noise, and that's what's coming out. That's great. Just rear back and let it rip. Try to part the hair of the person in front of you, okay, if they have any left. So that's what it's all about, all right? This is not American Idol up here, okay? Matter of fact, idolatry is really not a good thing to go in church. But this is all about the proper direction of our worship vertically in response to what God has done in our hearts. So there's one more story, and it's in verse 23, and I need to know I'm loved when I'm drowning. Notice what he says. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. And so this is a unique kind of guy. This is a business guy, okay? Maybe he's been a part of some manufacturing. He's got a product. And marketing team's figured out we can put this product in, get the sales guy on the ship and send it across, and we can do trade and make some money on this thing. Now, if you're in business, you know that business can be all-consuming, right? And if you're at the top of the business, you own a business, there's a temptation that those people deal with that the rest of us don't, and that is to think foolishly that you are sovereign, right? Does anybody work for a guy like that? He thinks he's God. Okay, that God has a special love for people who think they are God. It's a devastating type of love. So here we have a bunch of businessmen. And again, why are they in this situation? They're just doing what they do. All right. Maybe they're using their gifts, but somehow they may have been distracted and they've forgotten they're not God. So look at what God does to love them in verse 24. He says, they saw the deeds of the Lord. Oh, yes, they did. The wondrous deeds of the Lord. How did God show his works to them? Verse 25. He commanded and raised the stormy wind. Oh, he loved them so much, he whipped up a hurricane for them. To show them, you're not God. And you're not sovereign. And you're not in control of anything. Anything. Nothing. So look at what happened. It says, he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves. Remember, they're on a boat. Okay? So he lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down to the depths. Have you ever been on a boat like that? Up and down. The waves are up, and then it goes back down. God's doing this. And then he says, not only did they go up and down, but they went back and forth. It says, their courage melted away in their evil plight. What was their evil plight? They're just doing business. Business is not an evil plight. Acting like God is an evil plight. Forgetting that you're not sovereign. That's an evil plight. So God loves them so much, he helps them understand they're in big trouble, no matter how self-sufficient they think they are. And he's trying to bring them to the point that they will do what? Cry out. Because sovereign business people think everything, I don't need anything other than me to get through life. So he says in verse 27, they reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Oh, now God's got their attention, right? Have you ever gotten to the point where you could honestly say, I am at my wit's end. I do not know the next thing to do. I'm going up and down and up and down and back and forth. Who's doing that? God's loving you to show you how much you need to get to verse 28, which says, it's going to sound familiar. Oh, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He will make the storms be still. The same God that commanded the storm can command the storm to be still, and the waves of the water be hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. That's the fourth time we see it. We see it in verse 31. We saw it in verse 21. We saw it in verse 15. And we saw it in verse 8. It's the same plot line for every group. Verse 32. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Notice, you do not do this in isolation. We come together to tell our redemption story. Do you have a redemption story? Please hear me. If you do not have a redemption story, you have never been redeemed, purchased, ransomed, owned by God. You say, well, I'd like to be redeemed. How do I do that? Realize you're in big trouble. Cry real loud, experience redeeming love, and explode with transforming thanks so that you will feel what you're supposed to feel and do what you're supposed to do as a redeemed person who was redeemed at great price to God. That's the story. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ready to do that? Do you have a story? If you don't have a story, you can have one. Just cry out in your own heart right now. Lord, I'm in big trouble. My sin has sentenced me to a prison of death and hell. And Lord, I'm crying out to you right now, believing that what you did on that cross was for me. That was the price that was paid for me. Thank you for your redeeming love. Lord, I want to live the rest of my life as a thank you for what you've done for me. That's the gospel. And if you'll repent and believe, you can have a redemption story just like everybody else. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Micah and the team are coming back out here. We're gonna give you a chance to respond to the truth in thanksgiving. Someone asked you to stand up right now. I want you to think about your story even as we sing. If you don't have a story, you can get one right now. But let's respond to the redeeming love of God. The steadfast love of the Lord never fails. It never runs out. God is never exhausted. He's always ready to hear your cry.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.